Glory to God. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to be teaching for a few moments on this, and then Shannon is going to come and share a little bit as well, our message this morning. You know, it's interesting when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, there's all kinds of gifts. The Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit and also talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit were actually given so that we would be like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit were given so that we would do what Jesus did. And the Corinthian church was a unique church in that it had all the gifts in operation. That means that there was messages in tongues, there was interpretation, there was prophecy, there was words of wisdom, words of knowledge given. And the 1 Corinthians 12 talks about those gifts, and 1 Corinthians 14 talks about those gifts as well and how they are exercised in the body of Christ. But Paul puts this, everybody refers to it as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And years ago, actually it was 1980 that we were reading this portion of Scripture and the Lord gave us a song. And I'm going to try and sing it. I haven't sung it for a long time.
I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become a noise and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and even with all faith moving mountains, without love I am a noise, without love I'm just a clanging cymbal, without love it profits nothing at all. If I give my possessions to feed the poor, yet without love I'm not giving anything at all. If I deliver this earthly body to be burned, yet without love's forgiveness it means nothing at all. Without love I am a noise, without love I'm just a clanging cymbal, without love it profits nothing at all. Love is patient, kind, and true. He is not jealous or is rude. Love's not arrogant or uncovers the wrong. Love upholds what's right and maintains a cheery song. Love is patient, kind, and true. does not selfishly pursue. Love serves another and has self-control. It perseveres because there's love down in the soul. Now of all of the gifts given from the Lord, the greatest of them all is love. You
can't help but look at some of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. And we can speak in tongues. We can do everything, but if utilizing the gifts of the Spirit are not worked through the love of God, it's a noise. It's just a show. Everything we do must come from the love of God. Do you know, I have this gnawing sore on my foot. It's called a plantar's wart. You go, Pastor Ron, what does that have to do with love? Well, it's like this. There's something about a plantar's wart. Has anybody had a plantar's wart? There's a few. Okay. Do you know that everything about when this thing was aggravating, I tried to put pads on it, I tried to put stuff on it, and it just did not seem to go away. It was a gnawing sore. So I decided I would go back. I'd had several treatments back when we were in the Miramichi. I'd had several treatments on several sores. This thing was getting worse and worse and worse and worse, so I decided I needed to go to the doctor. Especially in our plans to go to Israel, I wanted to be able to walk without sore feet. You know, she put this stuff on my feet. I'll tell you. It wasn't just aggravating. It was really sore. And I found myself walking differently. In fact, somebody said to me, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, they said, Pastor Ron, you're walking funny. Yep. What's wrong? Well, I have this plantar's wart. My whole body seemed to shift, and I found different parts of my body getting sore because I was compensating for all this, limping. You know? And your whole body, just kind of that one little sore, that one little ache, just it sends all kinds of things that your body does that it doesn't normally do, and it's not normal. From a one little sore, well, I got one in actually each foot, but this one is really bad. During the night, on Tuesday night, I woke up thinking about this sore and how I was compensating so much, and other parts of my body began to ache. And the Lord began to speak to me about a sore, and he says, that's just like the body of Christ. Sometimes in the body of Christ, sometimes in churches, things happen. I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about churches everywhere. Stuff happens. And what happens is, it usually happens because of a sore. And so the body of Christ begins to do some unusual things. It begins to act in ways that really do not represent Christ well. They really don't. And I heard the Lord saying, I want to hear you heal your sores. Why is it so important that he wants to heal our sores? Because obviously he wants, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should share in this life, an abundant life. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus said, I've come to bring life and more abundantly. And I am so interested that the body be healed so we can represent Christ well. I really am. And so we find ourselves partnering with other churches and other faith groups and other pastors. Why? Because we want to represent Christ well. We don't want to be held back by a sore or by a stigma or whatever it is. But we want to show forth Christ. We need to be healed. We need to be healed in our bodies. We need to be healed as a body so we can represent Christ. I'll tell you why this is important. Because in our ministry, in reaching out, in ministering to other people, okay, hurt people hurt people. Did you hear what I said? Hurt people hurt people. You may not intend to hurt anybody. And I'm not talking about this because there's anything wrong here at Bethel. I'm talking because in the larger body of Christ, there is much hurt. There is much turmoil. And we need to be healed. We need to be healed as a body so that we can reach out amongst ourselves. And as we reach out, you know, just because somebody comes into the church and you shake hands, that doesn't really mean you're friendly. I've had this in years gone by, for almost 40 years, and I've seen people, they shake hands and they can wish you God's blessing and everything. I'll tell you what makes a friend is when you begin to learn about them, talk to them, and get to know them a little bit. Praise God. It's really hard to do by just a handshake on Sunday. Sometimes you just got to get to know people a little bit. And you find out we're all different. Praise God. We all have our likes and our dislikes, but that's what the body of Christ is. We're all different. Praise God. And it's when I blend my difference with your difference and your difference with my difference, things can happen. My foot is just a foot, but it affects the entire body. I need my foot, a hole so that my body, I can do things and function with it. I can roll around with my grandkids. Praise God. And sometimes run after them. But I am so thankful for what God has done in the life of here at Bethel. But I'm also so interested, whether it's shoe boxes, whether it's going into the nursing home. We will at Christmas Eve be going into the nursing home and singing Christmas carols amongst the Carlton Manor and also at Riverside Court to lend ourselves to that our love of Christ. We want to make the love of God known. Praise God. Sometimes there's some barriers and things, and Shannon's going to come and talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about some of the things that make it difficult for sometimes in reaching out to those that don't know Jesus.
My text is from Romans chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 16. Paul declares, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Gentiles." If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, just to set that straight so you know. Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. That's most of us. Saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now, I'm just going to talk about something that's very evident in our society. So I'm going to read it from the scripture and you're going to recognize it. And then we'll go on because God cares about the heart. God doesn't care about all the things you do. He cares about what's in here and the why. Not what you do, but why you do it. And when Pastor Ron was talking about, you know, we all have things in our heart. The Bible says that it's deceitfully wicked. Who can know your heart? Who can know it? Only God. And so I just pray that Holy Spirit will reveal to you if there's something in your heart. And sometimes it's really hidden and you really don't know it's there until the Holy Spirit reveals it. Verse 18. And anyway, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has been made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Verse 23, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So right away we think Africa, that's where the idols are, right? We don't have idols in Canada. They don't exist. Think again. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. This is the world we live in, and we're all very much aware of it. Scripture goes on, verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip, backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse, verse 31, they refuse to understand. They break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. Verse 32, they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Not a positive scripture, but that's the world we live in, isn't it? And we all know it. And you have terrible pictures and thoughts as you read that. It's so disgusting. We don't want to be any part of that. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. This is about the heart. So Paul says now to the Christians, you may think you can condemn such people, But you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. I read that scripture and was just like, whoa. That's a rebuke. I've never done those things. I've never done those things. And you're all sitting there going, I've never done those things. When you say about those people in chapter 1, they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge others do these very same things. I never did those things. I never did those things in chapter 1. What's he talking about? The act of condemning someone else . You are judged for doing those very same things. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. We know that. But since you judge others for doing those things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? An example in the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, you say, you know, the Pharisees would say, don't commit adultery. Don't do that. That's breaking the law. And Jesus said, but if you just look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. So it wasn't about the act. It was about what was in their heart. And this scripture is the very same thing. It's not about all the things we do or don't do. It's about what's in our heart. And how do we look at people around us? Pastor Ron and I were listening to a comedian, and the video was from the 70s, I'm sure, because that's when we knew him, in 70s or 80s, Mike Warnke, shouldn't tell you, but anyway. And he, part of his comedy routine, he started to tell a joke about homosexuals. And I just kind of went, whoa, that wouldn't be acceptable nowadays. But do you know what? That's never been acceptable in God's eyes. It's never been acceptable in his eyes when we judge anyone. Murderer, liar, cheater, the proud, the greedy, we've all been guilty. And God said, don't judge. Verse 3, since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? My sin of criticism and condemnation and judgment. And God has been kind to me, and he has been patient and tolerant with sinners, of which we all have been, and with saints. When we come to Christ, we still sin. We still have thoughts and judgments in our heart that are not right. And God said, if you confess it, I'll forgive you. Verse 5, but because you are stubborn and you refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For many, many years in the Christian church, it was preached, God hates sin, God will judge sin, he will destroy it, he will wipe it out, and anybody who participates in it I'm really jumping ahead in my notes here because I don't have much time. And this is God's standard. He said, the wages of sin is death. Because of Adam's sin, I was going to die in sin. It meant death. But God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5 and 8 says, for God showed his great love for us. That sinner, that saint, that's all of us, showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Can you really get a picture of that? Romans 5 and 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. Many times when people are led to the Lord, they say you need to confess your sins. And some religions, that's part of their belief. You have to go and confess every sin. But that scripture was talking to Christians. That wasn't to the unsaved. Romans 3 and verse 21, or verse 10, I'm sorry, Wilma. Romans 3, verse 10. No one is righteous, not even one. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law demands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. It's not by what we do. We can keep every commandment in the Old Testament, and there's a lot of them. If you ever read them all, how could anyone ever keep all those commandments? Impossible. And the law was only to show us just how sinful we really were. But verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Verse 23, for all have sinned because of Adam's sin. For all of us fall short of God's standard. Verse 24, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of sin. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. For everyone that Romans number 1 described, for their sin. For our sin, because we were there. We lived like that before we came to Christ. We had no knowledge of anything but just doing our own thing, and we made our own choices, and we just weren't conscious of God. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life and shed his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. And I was thinking about the city of Nineveh, if you know the story of Nineveh. The Lord sent Jonah. I want you to go preach to them so they'll turn to me. And Jonah went the other way. He didn't want any part of it. God had a big fish, a whale, swallow him. He finally said, okay, I'll go. Spit him up on dry land. And away went Jonah to preach to them. And the people actually repented and turned towards God. And like Jonah was just like, but God, they're so bad. They're like Romans chapter 1 described. And you're doing this? You're gonna forgive them? He was a little self-righteous, I'd say. And too proud and stuff in the heart. Imagine a whole city would come to Christ and you'd still sit there and go, God, why would you do that for them? They don't deserve that. That's what was in their heart. But God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. If our message to the unbelievers is condemnation and judgment, and pretty much avoid them wherever you can, I'm not going to talk to them. Why would I reach out to them? God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Galatians 3:26 says, ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, neither Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. That means anyone, everyone, anyone who walks through these doors can be made right, can be made a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Romans 1:18 said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and God will judge. He is the judge. In the end of it, he is the judge. But he has made a way for everyone. And that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was so that everyone could come to him. Romans 2:1. You may think you can condemn such sinners, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. Holy Spirit says, look in your heart. I'm going to show you if there's anything in there. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. James 4:8, come close to God. He'll come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Now, I don't know if he was preaching to a group of unsaved people or if he was talking to Christians. I have a feeling he was talking to Christians. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For our loyalty is divided between God and the world. There should be tears, sorrow. I'm kind of just... Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. James 4:11, don't speak evil, criticize, or judge. What right do you have to judge your neighbor? Love your neighbor. And Matthew 5, I don't know if I put it in there, Wilma, starting at 44. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. 45. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Imagine that. God. Doing good to sinners. Yep, sunshine shines on them. Rain falls on them, just like you and I. He doesn't say, oh, you're good. You're good, so I'm going to give you sunshine today. But that guy over there is really bad. You've probably seen cartoons where there's the little black cloud follows and it's raining on this, whoever it is, one of the Peanuts guys. Anyway, no, that's not God. That's not God. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. Not always nice. Not always nice to be rebuked. But God cares about what's in our heart. And what's in your heart is what you're going to show to everyone who walks through this door. We need pure hearts. We need love. His love in our hearts. No matter who we encounter, no matter who the Lord brings across our path, to love them like he does.
Scripture says God is love. I started out with 1 Corinthians 13. In that portion of Scripture, it says love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or is boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. God is love. That means God is patient. God is kind. He is not easily provoked. While we were in our sin, he died for us. He does not rejoice in injustice. He does not rejoice in sin. There are three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is love. So, how are we to react and how are we to act around unbelievers? Patient, kind, true. Is it easy to do? I don't think so. But I know that it's possible by the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you commit your life to him, the Bible says you're really not your own. You were bought with a price, a very dear price. It's Jesus dying on the cross. And this love life is open to everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever. That means we can all receive his love. We can all share his love and give his love and serve with his love. It may not make sense. You know, I grew up in this thing, and I know how judgmental Christians can be, but they don't realize that they're doing wrong. In fact, if the Bible says if we hate the guy that's a brother, the Bible says the truth is not in us. We need the truth of the living Word of God in our lives so we can display and represent Christ well. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray. We're going to play a song. Maybe just play it a little quietly just while I'm praying. We can't do it without Holy Spirit. We can't do it without the Lord. This song is just a prayer. Help me to love. Help me to love. So Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you would touch things in our heart that are not right. Where we have grieved you and made you sad.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. The one. place my love. Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you, even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Oh, how you love us, from the homeless to the famous and in between. 'Cause you formed us, you made us carefully. 'Cause in the end, we're all your children. So help me to love with all.
Your prayer this morning.
A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth.
Just give your heart to the Lord this morning.
Oh, that when they look
in my
eyes,
he just wants your
would
heart.
See you, even
Jesus,
in just a
Jesus,
smile, they will feel the
Jesus, love. Jesus,
even in just a smile,
help us to love.
They will feel the Father's love.
Help us to love like you love, Lord. We just pray for your people this morning. This wasn't an easy thing, but God, you want us to be whole. You want our hearts to be healed. You want those sores to be dealt with so that every step we take, we don't cringe and have that pain. God, I pray for your people today. You would heal their hearts. Heal our hearts, oh God. You know our hearts better than us. I pray, God, that we would forgive. That we would forgive those that have hurt us. We've been limping. We've been limping because we keep feeling the pain that someone caused us. Jesus, would you heal that today? Lord, we've been making judgments. We've been passing judgments. We've been criticizing. We've been putting down people. God, would you forgive us? Cleanse our hearts, oh God. Help us to see people the way you do. The way you do. Jesus, we're all your creation. Everyone is your creation. But we become your children when we believe in you. Jesus, you shed your blood. You died for us. May we believe in you. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you would heal your people. Heal us, Lord. Heal us so that we can go and bring healing to others. We can bring that message of hope and freedom in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to love. Thank you.
We want to remind you that for those that want to learn about Bethel Assembly and what it is that we are all about, there is the luncheon for you after the service. You want to ask questions and get some more information as to the things that pertain to our community here at Bethel. But I'll tell you this, you might be here and you really don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I say maybe you're not really, you don't really have you're really not on talking terms with him. This whole thing is not about joining a church and, you know, yes, it's community. Yes, it is. But we're more concerned about you knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I would like to see your hand that we can talk with you after. Even if you don't put up your hand and you want to talk to us about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We are here to talk with you and to help you through that. See, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's or going to Burger King or going to A&W it doesn't make you a hamburger. It's a building. Church buildings are buildings. But God wants to live in you and be a part of you and lead you into a different way of life. Thank you, Jesus. You say to me, I know I've worked with criminals 21 years. And I will tell you this. I never once stood up there to condemn them because I knew the love of God was reaching out for them. And I'd have people that would literally call out, "You don't know what I've done." I don't care. Because Jesus already paid the penalty. He already paid the price for your sin. You just need to acknowledge that you need him and that you believe him, that he died and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Please stand and let me pray a closing prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, your word is forever settled in heaven. I get it. But I'm asking that your word would settle in us individually in Jesus' name. And that your word would become live and active in our heart in Jesus' name. I ask that your grace and your mercy and your peace would rest upon these people as they go. That, Lord, you would help us to represent you well in the coming days and weeks that are ahead of us until Jesus comes. We thank you for this. Bless them in their going out. Blessing them in their coming in. Bless them when they rise up and when they sit down and when they're resting and when they're running. In Jesus' name, we bless them in your name. Amen. God bless you.